My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. I almost said it earlier on the show, but I didn't want to tip the scales or maybe tip someone off that this was the answer I was expecting. A Patriots fan finally gave me public enemy number one, Roger Goodell. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it, but I couldn't say it out loud. So Matt finds our Facebook page, Patriots public enemy number one, Roger Goodell.
We don't always agree.
Well, I think back to the whole deflated footballs mess, not just the fight between Roger Goodell and Tom Brady, the suspension that was then overturned on legal appeal that was then overturned again. Ultimately, he had to serve it. Then Roger Goodell going back to New England. Oh, they couldn't wait. In fact, do you remember before he got back there in New England, there was a game, I'm pretty sure it was on NBC because Al Michaels was calling it, and the Where is Roger chants were taking place. Every now and then you'll still hear that drop, that audio. I bet if you tried to find it on the web or on social, you could. Where is Roger? I knew it. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for obliging me. Why? Why are we talking about public enemies? Well, maybe it makes me less of a woman or less of a sports talk radio host. But my first impression of the NBA Finals is that Kyrie's going back to Boston and they can't wait. The fans will have something special planned for Kyrie. And remember, this is Kyrie, who acts like he's above it all, but we know he's not. I don't know if it necessarily gets into his head. I don't know if he can be rattled. I'm not really sure what goes on up there anyway. So I don't know if he can be rattled, but I do know that he responds to the haters, if you will. And I don't remember exactly what date it was. I think it was probably the first game that he played there after he had gone to Brooklyn. Not that it was just the one game, but his initial reception back in Boston where they booed and jeered him every single time he touched the ball. And what does he do? Well, he makes fun of the fans and acts like it's no big deal. Remember the whole, Boston hates you.
Boston hates you.
Right? He's talked about it more than once on his podcast or other podcasts. And then there's the whole warding off of evil spirits at the Garden, on the leprechaun, stomping around, rubbing sage on the court. So he could tell you it's no big deal. He could tell you that it's only about the Celtics standing in the way of the Mavericks winning a title. Don't believe it for a second. And also, don't believe it for a second. I'm not sure if you'll find any Celtics fans who will tell you it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters to Celtics fans as well. His 2 years in Boston, the way that the team struggled around him and also the moves they made to get him, only for him to spend a lot of it injured, but also it turned into a dumpster fire, the locker room specifically. Then he bolts to Brooklyn. And I have spoken to a bunch of Celtics fans personally who actually are looking forward to it and might enjoy it a little more if it does come against Kyrie or at the expense of Kyrie Irving.
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Uh-huh. I think you'll get the players to be largely professional. You would expect that. Many of these guys are conditioned. No bulletin board material. No guarantees. Nothing personal. It's professional. And the Celtics are professional enough that they're going to keep it wet that way. But there are some of these guys who remember. They may not say it publicly. They're not going to tell you themselves that Kyrie was a bit of a cancer in the locker room. But it only took 2 years, and it was a mess in his wake. Maybe not quite as disastrous as Rick Pitino coaching the Boston Celtics, but I know it was an era, quote unquote, that they'd like to forget. It didn't work out so well. Of course, it didn't work out in Brooklyn either. He didn't really want to stay in Dallas. He wanted to go to LA, but Dallas was the place for him. I will give him credit. He has found a way to make it work, and he seems happy. He seems content, and he's certainly productive. And he is one big reason why the Dallas Mavericks are back into the NBA Finals for the first time since 2011. But yes, call me petty if you want. I'm looking forward to Celtics versus Kyrie and the reception that he will get at the Garden for Game 1 next Thursday. So that's my first impression. Maybe you think less of me now. At least I'm honest. I will own it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It also gave me the idea for this morning's show question. Oh, yeah, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm so entrenched, so locked in on what I'm doing here. Thinking about Kyrie as public enemy number one in Boston, or at least one of them. Teams that have a long tenure, franchises that have long histories, there tend to be more than one public enemy. But public enemy number one, at least for these next few weeks, there'll be plenty to say about Kyrie Irving. So for your team, your franchise, your fan base, your city, who's public enemy number one? Thus the answer to the question for the Patriots. Matt says it's Roger Goodell. Boom. On Twitter. You found it. Wait, start over. I was talking. Okay, start from the beginning.
Is that Where is Roger?
Well, there was the first ever Where is Roger chant.
Patriots fans were so proud of that. They were on TV. And where is Roger? Exactly. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter at Amy After Hours. That's where you can send your answer on Twix. I'm trying to adjust to changing it, Twitter to Twix. And then on our Facebook page, too, looking for, well, you know me well. Producer Jay knows me well. Looking for the Star Wars GIF that sums it up perfectly. It's brilliant, Producer Jay. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Just to clean up a little bit here. Jay looked it up. What was the date for the Allen Iverson we talking about practice?
It was 2002.
Okay, so it was 22 years ago. A little off.
Right. It's longer than I thought. Wow.
Yeah, 2002. We celebrate it every year. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's one of the shows that we did where we first instituted the Hall of Flame. That was classic. A classic example of the Hall of Fame. I can pretty much do the whole thing. I don't do impressions, but I can do that one.
We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
I feel like you got that off a replay somewhere on a comedy channel. Did you hear the laugh track in the background?
I did sense in our system, but...
All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals. Boston Celtics finally know who their opponent is, and boy, did they get Luka's killer instinct in Minnesota. This was first quarter, right off the opening tip. He was not messing around.
Luka, left side of the floor, wants Gafford to come up and set the screen.
to the left. Luka turns that way. And from the bottom of the logo, he hits!
He sure did, because Anderson went under the screen and he saw that opening and took it. You can't leave him open for a little bit.
A 17-point first quarter for Doncic. The most points he's had in any quarter in the playoffs. Timberwolves have missed the last seven. Luka pulls up and hits again. A three-pointer from the top of the arc. And Chris Finch and Mike Anori have to take a timeout. Doncic, a 20-point first quarter. Only his third 20-point half of the playoffs. He's got 20 in the first.
No time like the present sparked a 12-0 Dallas run, and Minnesota looked a little shell-shocked. It's kind of hard to defend a guy who's launching from the logo, who's shooting it over a couple of guys that are even between him and the three-point line. So, yes, 20 from Luka in the first quarter. He outscored the Wolves all by himself, and after that, well, Kyrie had some work to do. So between the two of them, 72 points. And at one juncture in this game, in the second half, this is rough. I got to feel like the Wolves just weren't ready. I don't know. This is total failure. It's a franchise failure in this particular game. They were trailing by 40. 40! These are two teams that we've seen fight tooth and nail. I know Luka's good and all, but it's not like that was a surprise to you. Maybe demoralizing after that first quarter. A little bit of, oh no, we can't come back and win this. I'm not sure. A younger team. But in the second half, they're up by 40. Wow, it was rough to watch if you're a Wolves fan, I'm sure.
Mavericks have it to begin the third quarter. They shoot to our left in their white uniforms. Minnesota in the slate grays, to the green and white. Luka across the floor. Backdoor! And the dunk for Washington as Luka throws a 40-footer on time and on target. Now Towns comes over to help. Solid Spain screen by Gafford. Luka in the lane. Floater good. And a timeout by Chris Finch. And absolutely no effort defensively from Minnesota, and the fans are letting the Timberwolves know exactly how they feel. Here comes Irving. They try to trap him. Lob to Jones. Met by Gobert. Back out to Luka. Put it on the floor. Left to right on McDaniels. Gets in him and draws the foul. Hits the shot. Three-point play chance for Doncic.
Chuck Cooperstein, just saw a photo of him on social media with the Western Conference Finals trophy. Yes, the play-by-play announcer gets to hold the trophy as well. So the Mavericks are into their first finals since 2011. Luka starts out with 20, finishes with 36, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals.
My mind will set the tone. I know they're going to start doubling after, so we just play it with the doubles. Double team after, and we just play basketball.
I was enjoying it just like everyone else was. He had 20 points, I think, in like 6 minutes or 7 minutes, and you're just watching a special performance take place. But, you know, as a teammate, you just want to continue to do the little things to bring the lead a little bit further along and just continue to play well.
Kyrie himself had 36, and also impressed that he had no turnovers. 5 assists for him to go along. And so he is the guy who's been to an NBA Finals, though it's been a while.
Feels great, man. Definitely don't take this moment for granted because of how hard we had to work to get here. And we had to earn our spot into the NBA Finals. And we had to go against some great opponents, OKC, Clippers, Wolves. And I feel like they got us better as a team. They really challenged us on the defensive end, made us focus in. And, you know, I thanked every single one of them like I did the previous two series for making me better. It has been 7 long years, but it's also felt like the right amount of time, you know, in order to reward myself, be in the locker room with my teammates and enjoying it. A long time coming.
Great team effort. Incredible to be atop the Western Conference. Minnesota is well coached. They're a really good team. And we're just happy to be able to represent the Western Conference in the finals.
I kind of like what we've seen the last few years. The Miami Heat were the number 8 seed, and they made the NBA Finals in 23. Of course, taking out the Celtics, which is another piece of their motivation and their history that's gotten them to where they are. These Mavericks are the 5 seed. How about that? So I don't want to hear any more, oh, it's always the one seed. There's no upsets in the NBA Finals. I think a lot of people would tell you, honestly, they did not expect the Mavericks to get this far. They are a younger team, except for Kyrie. According to Luka, he's old. So what is it about older? I mean, he's 32, for heaven's sakes. That's not old. It's actually not going to be that different, the experience factor for Luka versus Kyrie, because Luka's been pro since he was 13.
Old as f***.
Goodness. Yeah, we'll get to you, Ant. So they are a younger team, and I think it's really impressive. We see this in the NFL sometimes, where a team will go from worst to first, or they have the overall number one pick, or they have one of the top draft picks, sometimes a QB, and they'll go from non-playoff to winning their division like the Houston Texans did last year. That happens a lot in football. We don't see as much draft lottery to NBA Finals, though, which is notable because remember last year they picked Derek Lively out of Duke with that number 12 pick, and here they are still standing.
Insane. I think we got a great team, but most importantly, we got the great guys on the team, from players to coaches to everybody in the team. We have great guys, and that's the most important thing. Like I said, we stay together and we just play basketball, you know. Especially, I think we beat three very, very, very good teams, and having home advantage, which is pretty good for us.
Yeah, it's also notable that they haven't had any issues going into hostile territory. And Luka, you can tell that he enjoys that. He was jawing with someone in the lower bowl near the court in Minneapolis. Now, I'm not sure. It might have been Snoop Dogg, or someone told me it was Jimmy Jam who was sitting next to him. I didn't quite see who was next to him. I just noticed Snoop. I don't know if that's who it was, but Luka definitely enjoys driving the stake into the heart of those faithful in hostile arenas.
It's a good feeling, man. I can't lie. Just go out there and, you know, it's us against them. Just stay together. But that feeling is great.
Was there one fan in particular that you kept going at early on?
And yeah.
What was that about?
Oh, I can't tell you. If I tell you, I can sue him. But, you know, that gets me going. Everybody knows that by now, so just got to do it.
Yeah, that's a quality about Luka and Kyrie both. They tend to feed off the hate. Sports hate, of course. It's not real hate. Luka goes 6 of 10 from 3. And in the first half, the Mavericks shot 61% from the floor. That defense that we've heard so much about with the Timberwolves, it didn't show up. Or at the very least, it wasn't effective in Game 5.
Luka came out tonight, put a stamp on the game, you know, hit a couple bomb threes that kind of got them really loosened up. And then, you know, offensively, we were kind of never really settled in. Their physicality bothered us. The game kind of slipped away from us in the first quarter when we missed a lot of easy stuff, you know, went one-on-one too early, just kind of got busted out of any kind of offensive structure. You know, and then we couldn't get stopped. So that was the game.
Disappointed for sure. I think it's simple. Got to the Western Conference Finals, you know, couldn't get the job done. It hurts, you know. This team's worked tremendously hard. Not only improving ourselves as players, but as a team, collectively, just playing together, trusting the process through the ebbs and flows of the seasons and all the adversity. We found a way to always stick together and move forward together. So disappointed for us.
I think that for the Timberwolves, as much as it hurts to come this close, they've taken some major steps forward, primarily that 7-game series against the Nuggets in which they were able to eliminate Denver. That was huge for them. Still say they've got this incredible tandem. Anthony Edwards is just 22 years old. Also, maybe still maturing. He was asked what he can learn from the Mavericks and how they played him moving forward.
Nothing.
All right. Nothing?
Nothing.
At all? Just
nothing.
Maybe something small, just a little from the tape? Nothing?
Nothing.
All right. So Anthony Edwards might maybe down the road find something he can take away, but at this point...
Nothing.
Also, at 22 years old, he's got a lot of growing to do. I do think we've seen a superstar in the making. He's dynamic on the court, even if he's still putting it all together when it comes to addressing the media.
I just told him, like, y'all know that we're going to be right back in the same position next year. So y'all know how y'all need to train to get ready, and include myself, like, you know. Because we trained this year as if we was going to just play 82 games, maybe one round of the playoffs. We didn't know we was going to go this far, so we didn't train like it this summer. I know nobody did, especially myself. So I think this summer is going to be huge for all of us because we know what type of team we got and we know what we're capable of, so we need to train like we know what we're going to do.
All right, if nothing else, Anthony Edwards admits that he never expected them to go this far and that now, understanding the potential, he will train and prepare for a deep run into the playoffs. And I don't think that's a bad revelation. I don't think that's something that the media needs to make a big deal of. Right. He was into the league at 19 years old. He is who he is. Love the personality. But that's quite a revelation. We didn't train even to be to this point. So now, you know, I mean, now you recognize the potential and you cannot waste the window, so to speak. In light of Kyrie returning to Boston, where he may be public enemy number one at this juncture for the Celtics fans, who is public enemy number one for your favorite team or your fan base, your city? On Twitter, I'm going to try. I'm going to practice. On Twix, but now my stomach's growling. Not a good idea.
I've wanted it since you said that.
Makes me hungry. on that social media site, at A-Law Radio. You can look for the post and also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. Happy Friday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Seconds to go in the Florida power play. In comes Kachuk to the Rangers zone. Gave it away. Brought out by Kreider to Zibanejad. Kreider up the middle. Breaks to the net. Kreider scores! A shorthanded goal by Chris Kreider gives the Rangers a 1-0 lead.
Fox lobs it along. Lafreniere pass across. Trocheck there. And then he had it poked away by Ekblad. Back go the Panthers. Bennett down to our left over the Rangers' blue line. Bennett heads in, threads it. Forsling back in, and he scores! Gus Forsling ties the game. What a feed from Bennett. It's 1-1 with 11:39 to go. go here in the second.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Rangers and Panthers radio network, this was tight and it was tense. You know what the statistics say and what they show about a tie series and a game five. This one taking place at Madison Square Garden. They were tied going into the third period and tied for 10 minutes of that third period until the visitors broke through.
He whips it on net, a right pass save made by Bobrovsky, and the rebound is taken out of harm's way. Luostarinen, then on for Lundell, left side of the circle, Lundell a shot, and he scores! Anton Lundell gives the Panthers their first lead of the night. He lets it rip out of the left circle. It's 2-1 with 9:38 to play here in the third.
What was the word you used to describe that goal, Jay, earlier? A soft goal, you said, because of how it went underneath Shesterkin's.
Right through his arm.
Yeah, right through his arm, kind of underneath the pads. It reminded me, it wasn't earlier in this series. Didn't we have one, something similar for the Rangers where they got a goal? It was the, I can't remember exactly who it was. It was Lafreniere, but it got tipped in front of the net, and it kind of went up and under the arm of Bob, of Sergei Bobrovsky. So I think we've had a few of those. Both, well, it's better than an own goal, I suppose.
Or they've had one of those.
Or a butt goal. We had a butt goal, too, in the Western Conference, right? Or a posterior is what the story said. Anyway, it's a series in which we've seen Igor Shesterkin come up with huge saves. Same thing for Bob. And the way that they are able to pick the right angle and put the stick in front, and the breakaways, even that we've seen them stop, they're very impressive, both of them. But in this particular case, it's probably one that he would like back. Now, they end up tacking on another goal, an empty netter. Rangers do make it a one-goal game with their second later in that period. But ultimately, it's Anton Lundell who comes up with that go-ahead and game-winning goal.
That was huge, you know. We had some good chances in the third, and we were playing really good. Felt like we just had chances after chances, and just kept grinding and trusted that we're gonna get the chance and the goal.
You know, our starts haven't been great, haven't been what we wanted, but you know, it just seems like as the game goes on, we're getting better and better, and I think that contributes to our composure and our just willingness to keep playing the same way and not trying to change our game.
You know, we talked about the Celtics getting back to the NBA Finals for the first time, well, for the second time in 3 years, but first time since they lost to the Warriors. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Panthers, their situation a little bit different. Remember, they were the team that knocked out the Bruins as the 8th seed when the Bruins set records for points and wins in a season. But they were an 8 seed, like the Heat last year, that got to the Stanley Cup Final. And maybe a little bit along the lines of what Anthony Edwards said, they didn't really prepare to be in a situation where they'd be all the way into the championship round. But that's different than what we've heard from the Panthers this year. They've talked about how they're preparing for this along the way. And here they are now, one game away from returning to the Stanley Cup Final and having a chance at redemption. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Had a chance to catch up with hockey writer Luke Fox of Sportsnet. He was at MSG. Just a couple of his answers about the series and about the Panthers. I wanted to know why it is so difficult for Panthers opponents to adjust to their style of play.
I think it starts with their forecheck. They're incredibly fast and they're incredibly fierce. And it's rare that you have both of those in one hockey team. They're kind of tailor-made to succeed at this time of year. They just love to dump pucks in and they're very structured. Paul Maurice has them all bought into his system and they just attack. They make it really difficult for the opposing team's defense to break the puck out cleanly because they're just on them. They swarm them. They wear them down. And I think the longer a series goes on, the more of a toll that takes on them. And then when they're in their own zone, they don't panic. They stick to their structure and they kind of wait for the Rangers to make a mistake. I think of, you know, the deciding goal in overtime in game four. Zibanejad tries to create something. He tries to force a puck east-west across the blue line, and then they just pick that up and counterattack. The Lundell goal, the same thing, was a counterattack goal. The giveaways tonight were 12 for the Rangers, 1 for Florida. I mean, they're very organized and disciplined in their structure. And then so they wait for the other team to make a mistake, and they're fine waiting. And then when the other team does cough it up, they pounce. They have enough speed and skill to make you pay.
This is more of a quirky question because we hear it. I'm not sure I believe it. The President's Trophy curse, and the Rangers, of course, did have the best record in the regular season. Why is it so hard for the best team over the course of 82 games to then go on and win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a curse. I think it just speaks to the parity of the league. It's not as if the President's Trophy team, you know, gets outclassed. I mean, the Boston Bruins went out in the first round last year to these Florida Panthers, but they lost to the team that went all the way, and it took them 7 games, and they came very close to winning that series. I think part of it is the parity of the league, the nature of the sport. I think there's a little bit more luck involved in hockey than in, say, basketball, where after every possession, the other team automatically gets possession. There's a little more of a randomness, you know, with frozen rubber on ice, right? Part of it's that, and I think the parity goes back to the NHL instituting a salary cap, so you can't, you know, really stack a team to a point and have them dominate. And hey, there's no shame. I don't think it's a curse if they lose to this Panthers team. There's no shame in it. It's really one of the better Final Fours in recent memory. All four of these teams, none of them fluked their way into this. You know, on the West, Dallas and Edmonton are serious teams that have been on long runs before and just haven't gotten it done. So all these teams are legitimate. There's no shame if the Rangers eventually do fall, because they're going up against one heck of an opponent.
Where does Lord Stanley's Cup reside until we get to the next round?
It's still at the Hall of Fame in Toronto. It doesn't enter the building until an elimination game. Until it can actually be won, the superstition is that it can't be in the building.
Gotcha.
So not until a clinching game will it make an appearance. But funny story, they used to not even bring it until like late in the third period because of some silly old hockey superstition, but then it got caught in traffic on the way, and it showed up late one year. I forget what year it was, but it showed up late. So then they're like, okay, let's get it in the building at least, start the game.
I love that story. And yes, Lord Stanley's Cup will make an entrance at some point. We don't know where. We still have 4 teams that are alive for these conference championships and potentially could see 2 game sevens. Yeah, you'll get me. If it's game 7 and it's sudden death, I might pass out. I can already feel the tension. Oh, goodness. And Jay is a longtime Rangers fan. He and his dad, they watch these games together. Is there yelling or is it silence?
Oh, there's so much yelling.
Okay, so you guys, you don't get stoic. You
no,
don't poker
oh my gosh,
face
no,
it. You're
we
screaming.
Are screaming. You him usually louder than me, honestly.
How would dad handle a game 7 sudden death for the Stanley Cup final?
I think we'd be calm during the day, but then around like an hour or so before puck drop.
No, if it's sudden death, you don't have an hour to get ready.
Or
during
just
the day.
Not a game 7. You mean a sudden death? Okay, it's in the overtime. Oh man, it would be tense. Probably a lot of screaming. Any simple mistake, like a missed pass or like any sort of not perfect play, would be highly criticized.
Highly criticized with choice words.
Yes, very that select language.
A little bit like how the Boston fans will welcome Kyrie back. Highly critical with choice words.
I think that it'll be worse there.
Monday and Tuesday is when we would have the game 7s. If they go the duration, Monday and Tuesday in New York and Dallas, those would be the 2 host cities for the game 7s. But our NBA finals, that is set. That's Celtics, that's Mavericks. And could you imagine if we had Stars and Mavericks both in their respective championship rounds? That would be fun as well for the city of Dallas. Not to mention, you've got the World Series champions residing there in Arlington. Who is public enemy number one for your city, your fan base? Maybe it's just your favorite team. On Twitter, at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page. We'll get to a little bit of that. Also, the bold move trying to capitalize on the newfound and exploding popularity of women's basketball.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're never happy to lose. Like, it's not fun. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I think there's just a lot of things to build on it. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to just be as positive as possible, continue to learn, continue to stack days.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We will get to your public enemies. Public enemy number one. Who is it for your favorite team, your fan base, your city, maybe? And we've gotten some really creative answers, which is fun. But with no more NBA hoops until next Thursday night, we'll be able to slip in a little of the women's basketball. And you all know that there are people around the country who have fever. They couldn't have named three NBA, WNBA, excuse me, players a month ago. But now they're all in. That includes my mother, who for a time signed up for WNBA League Pass. But as she's finding out, most of the fever games are on national TV, like Saturday. So really not much need for the League Pass. She has fever. But here, the Fever continue to struggle. They're still figuring it out, and they get blown out by the Seattle Storm at home. Caitlin had several three-pointers. She played all but 4 seconds. She was out there the entire game. And it's a crowd of 15,000 plus, but now Indiana is 1-8, the second worst record in the league. She was asked post-game whether or not she is still excited about the crowds and about getting out there and performing despite all of the losing.
At the end of the day, like, that's why you play basketball. Like, sure, the wins are great. All that is great. But the way the game has changed over the, you know, course of my career, whether it's college and now coming here, and like, you look around at all these young girls, like, they're coming to these games, and then, you know, even after the game we lose by, you know, however many points, but they're like still the happiest young girls in the world. Like, couldn't be more thrilled that they're here with their families and with their parents or with whoever brought them. And they could care less how much we won by, or, you know, how many points I scored or whatever it was. Like, for them, it's like just the experience and seeing us play. Like, that's the coolest thing to me.
She actually did admit to being somewhat tired. They've had a pretty rough schedule, meaning they've had a ton of games crammed into their first couple weeks. She was out there for all but the four seconds, and she had a technical foul. Her coach got a technical foul. Her coach was actually stumping for Caitlin to get more calls after the fact, feeling like the Fever are not getting treated as fairly. That's a coach's job, is to try to drum up calls for her players. But also, Christy Sides went on a bit of a passionate tangent when she was talking about how criticizing the Fever, the way that people are going all in and drilling down, is relatively unfair.
We've played more games than anybody without the practice, playing against the best teams in the league. Like, I'm so proud of their fight. They keep coming back. I'm so proud of what they do. Caitlin's learning. She's fighting. She gets, you know, the whole 40 minutes she's in the game on both ends, she's getting beat up. She keeps fighting. I've got some great people in my locker room. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting, and it's going to click, and we're going to get there. But it doesn't happen overnight.
I like her passion. It's a lot for this franchise and for the coach to handle. And it's not just Caitlin, right? The whole team is in it for sure. There's frustration. There is some fatigue. There's technical fouls. There's just a lot happening there. They're going to put it together. They've been in a lot of these games, just at this point, unable to come away with the wins to show the fruits of their labor, if you will. Speaking of the WNBA, just want to mention it. The only undefeated team still in the league is the Connecticut Sun. The president of the Connecticut Sun is former UConn product, former USA Olympian, WNBA champion, also longtime coach in college hoops, Jennifer Rosati. She and I worked together for 8 years when I was calling the games, doing play-by-play for the Hartford women. And so I know her really well, traveled with the team for all those years. And now that she's with the Sun, we maintain a good relationship. She's agreed to come on the show Monday. And so we'll have a conversation with her, not just about the changes for the WNBA, but also about her team, which is at this point still undefeated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Breanna Stewart, reigning WNBA MVP. And she and a teammate, a former UConn teammate who's also in the league, have decided they're going to start a new league that will pay its athletes six figures. So she was all over media yesterday, making the announcement about this new project, this new startup.
In a typical women's basketball life, you play in the WNBA and you go overseas. And there's a 7-month gap where, you know, our W players aren't home, aren't in market. And mm-hmm. Fee and I are co-founders in Unrivaled, which is going to launch in Miami come 2025. And it's going to be the top 30 athletes where we'll play 3-on-3, 1-on-1, and just be home, be in market, and be able to be, you know, in a market that isn't a W team, but continue to grow the game and grow brands.
So this is Breanna Stewart on Good Morning America and Napecia Collier, who are launching this league in January of 25. And they've gotten some pretty recognizable investors with a lot of money, like Carmelo Anthony, Steve Nash, Michelle Wee, West is her married name, actor Ashton Kutcher, Gino Auriemma is investing. Also, Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, who are USA soccer stars. So they've got some pretty impressive names who are helping them to launch this. And I wonder about the timing. I don't know how long they've been considering it, but just the idea that they can capitalize on the popularity of women's hoop. And if they are doing things like 3-on-3 and 1-on-1, well, then it's a little bit of a different format, could be more entertaining, different access than what you would get in your standard league. And it won't run at the same time as the WNBA. Obviously, they're doing this, as she says, to keep people from having to go overseas and play and earn a paycheck. Instead, they can stay home.
The court's going to be a little bit smaller, so like around 60 feet in comparison to 94, but full court 3-on-3. So we'll have to make sure our cardio is up. We'll have a little bit of a training camp in this 10-week window. But I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to be playing, be around the best, continue to get better, and Miami's not a bad place to be.
So again, on Good Morning America, Breanna Stewart. And as I say, she says the athletes will make at least six figures. Like, that's what they're being offered. They'll be the best salaries for any women's athletes in U.S. history. So I think it could be the perfect timing. Of course, in January, think what they're up against. You're up against the NFL. You're up against the NFL playoffs, not to mention the NBA, the NHL. There's a lot happening then. And college football playoff, too, the end of the college football season. Ask other sports what happens when you tangle with football. So that's the only, I would say, the major pause that I would have about a league at that particular moment. We've been asking you about public enemies for your various teams, your cities, your franchises, in honor of Kyrie and a Boston reunion. RJ says Cleveland fan enemies are Michael Jordan and John Elway. Let's see. But I've seen another one who said no matter what, it will always be bleeping Art Modell. That it will always be Art Modell. This one for Maple Leafs fans, it's the big, bad Boston Bruins. Yeah, I like the team rivalries, but that's not really where I'm going with this. It's more about having that public enemy, the one figure that makes your blood boil. Roger on Facebook, the Kentucky Wildcats, I hate Christian Laettner. Chris says for Orioles fans, it's still Jeffrey Mayer. You know, the young kid who interfered with the ball, or they thought that he interfered with the ball in the playoffs? Remember the home run? Mike says NFL public enemy number one is Antonio Brown for walking out in the middle of a game. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You look around at all these young girls, like, they're coming to these games, and then, you know, even after the game we lose by, you know, however many points, but they're like still the happiest young girls in the world. Like, couldn't be more thrilled that they're here with their families and with their parents or with whoever brought them, and they could care less how much we won by, or, you know, how many points I scored or whatever it was. Like, for them, it's like just the experience and seeing us play. Like, that's the coolest thing to me.
She actually did admit too to being somewhat tired. They've had a pretty rough schedule, meaning they've had a ton of games crammed into their first couple weeks. She was out there for all but the four seconds, and she had a technical foul. Her coach got a technical foul. Her coach was actually stumping for Caitlin to get more calls after the fact, feeling like the Fever are not getting treated as fairly. That's a coach's job, is to try to drum up calls for her players. But also, Christy Sides went on a bit of a passionate tangent when she was talking about how criticizing the Fever, the way that people are going all in and drilling down, is relatively unfair.
We've played more games than anybody without the practice, playing against the best teams in the league. Like, I'm so proud of their fight. They keep coming back. I'm so proud of what they do. Caitlin's learning. She's fighting. She gets, you know, the whole 40 minutes she's in the game on both ends, she's getting beat up. She keeps fighting. I've got some great people in my locker room. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting, and it's going to click, and we're going to get there. But it doesn't happen overnight.
I like her passion. It's a lot for this franchise and for the coach to handle. And it's not just Caitlin, right? The whole team is in it for sure. There's frustration. There is some fatigue. There's technical fouls. There's just a lot happening there. They're going to put it together. They've been in a lot of these games, just at this point, unable to come away with the wins to show the fruits of their labor, if you will. Speaking of the WNBA, just want to mention it. The only undefeated team still in the league is the Connecticut Sun. The president of the Connecticut Sun is former UConn product, former USA Olympian, WNBA champion, also longtime coach in college hoops, Jennifer Rosati. She and I worked together for 8 years when I was calling the games, doing play-by-play for the Hartford women. And so I know her really well, traveled with the team for all those years. And now that she's with the Sun, we maintain a good relationship. She's agreed to come on the show Monday And so we'll have a conversation with her, not just about the changes for the WNBA, but also about her team, which is at this point still undefeated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Breanna Stewart, reigning WNBA MVP. And she and a teammate, a former UConn teammate, who's also in the league, have decided they're going to start a new league that will pay its athletes six figures. So she was all over media yesterday making the announcement about this new project, this new startup.
In a typical women's basketball life, you play in the WNBA and you go overseas. And there's a seven-month gap where, you know, our W players aren't home, aren't in market. And mm-hmm. Fee and I are co-founders in Unrivaled, which is going to launch in Miami come 2025. And it's going to be the top 30 athletes where we'll play three-on-three, one-on-one, and just be home, be in market, and be able to be, you know, in a market that isn't a W team, but continue to grow the game and grow brands.
So this is Breanna Stewart on Good Morning America and Napisha Collier, who are launching this league in January of 25. And they've gotten some pretty recognizable investors with a lot of money, like Carmelo Anthony, Steve Nash, Michelle Wie West is her married name, actor Ashton Kutcher, Gino Auriemma is investing. Also, Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, who are USA soccer stars. So they've got some pretty impressive names who are helping them to launch this. And I wonder about the timing. I don't know how long they've been considering it, but just the idea that they can capitalize on the popularity of women's hoop. And if they are doing things like three-on-three and one-on-one, well, then it's a little bit of a different format. Could be more entertaining, different access than what you would get in your standard league. And it won't run at the same time as the WNBA. Obviously, they're doing this, as she says, to keep people from having to go overseas and play and earn a paycheck. Instead, they can stay home.
The court's going to be a little bit smaller, so like around 60 feet in comparison to 94, but full court, 3-on-3. So we'll have to make sure our cardio is up. We'll have a little bit of a training camp in this 10-week window. But I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to be playing, be around the best, continue to get better, and Miami's not a bad place to be.
So again, on Good Morning America, Breanna Stewart. And as I say, she says the athletes will make at least six figures. Like, that's what they're being offered. They'll be the best salaries for any women's athletes in U.S. history. So I think it could be the perfect timing. Of course, in January, think what they're up against. You're up against the NFL. You're up against the NFL playoffs, not to mention the NBA, the NHL. There's a lot happening then. And college football playoff, too, the end of the college football season. Ask other sports what happens when you tangle with football. So that's the only, I would say, the major pause that I would have about a league at that particular moment. We've been asking you about public enemies for your various teams, your cities, your franchises in honor of Kyrie and a Boston reunion. RJ says Cleveland fan enemies are Michael Jordan and John Elway. Let's see. But I've seen another one who said no matter what, it will always be bleeping Art Modell. That it will always be Art Modell. This one for Maple Leafs fans, it's the big, bad Boston Bruins. Yeah, I like the team rivalries, but that's not really where I'm going with this. It's more about having that public enemy, the one figure that makes your blood boil. Roger on Facebook, the Kentucky Wildcats, I hate Christian Laettner. Chris says for Orioles fans, it's still Jeffrey Mayer. You know, the young kid who interfered with the ball, or they thought that he interfered with the ball in the playoffs. Remember the home run? Mike says NFL public enemy number one is Antonio Brown for walking out in the middle of a game. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.